Amen. Thank God for those songs. If you will remain standing and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. By the way, let me mention this as well before I get started, that we were privileged to be able to go to the camp meeting over in Buffalo Monday night. We were there Monday night and Tuesday morning and had a good meeting. I'm telling you, preaching on Monday night was excellent. Tuesday morning was good. I didn't get as much and have as much. Now, I'm not saying that in a bad way. Just didn't get where I felt like probably was trying to go on Tuesday morning. But Brother Milby did give me some time. Let me come up behind the pulpit, not to preach, but let me come up and tell about being here and about the radio station. And hopefully we picked up some new listeners. There's some men. Some men told me after the service that they listen when they can, when they're in the area. One man said that he drives right through here pretty regularly and didn't know that the station was here. And that since he knew it, I actually gave him a card with the call letters, because he not only drives through here, he goes down into Paducah and on down. And so I told him about the McKenzie station, and the translator gave him a card on that. And then a young man from North Carolina that's recently married into people in Kentucky. He married a young lady here and moved here. And so that North Carolina connection, he said, where are you from in North Carolina? We got talking. And he said that he knew about the station and listened to it when they could. He works in construction, him and his father-in-law. And when they can, they take a radio and listen to WSOL. My wife asked him, said, do you have a smartphone or an iPhone? He said, I do. And so she told him about the iPhone app. I forgot to mention that. And I told him, so now you don't have any excuse. He's never out of the listening area. Amen. But anyway, in other words, we got to get the word out a little bit more. That's a blessing and encouragement. And so thank the Lord for that. And we're looking forward to maybe God blessing that. All right. Ephesians chapter number 6. And I'm continuing on the thought that I used a few Wednesday nights ago on the prophetical utterance. If you remember the prophetic utterance, picking up my verse number 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, and read down through verse 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, and here's my phrase, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, and underline this phrase, to make known the mystery of the gospel. That prophecy is saying out, saying forth, and making known, that utterance made known. Verse number 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. This time, Brother Bale, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the prayer.
Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the
fellowship.
Yes, Lord, please do. Yes, Lord, please.
And I pray that you would just speak to our heart, that Holy Spirit God have recourse in every heart, and do a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank you for that prayer. Amen. And I did, by the way, let me say that I thank the Lord for the liberty. There's a lot of liberty here tonight, and so you've got to be careful with that. You'll chase a bunch of rabbits, but... I didn't wear my birthday suit. Y'all got me, amen. Yep. That's right. I didn't wear the suit y'all got me for my birthday, but I brought my pen. I got my watch on, but I'm gonna forget it. All right. But I'm gonna try to preach and give you the thought that's on our mind today that might be helpful to you. I started talking about this. I began preaching and teaching this text, as I said, a few weeks ago, and this is not going to develop into a lengthy thing, at least I don't think. I think tonight's going to finish it. But I talked about prophetic utterance, and I talked about the nature of the prophetic gift. Now, I mentioned then that I might continue that thought in other messages, and that this is the continuation of it. I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into it and look a little farther into it and give you this second point. But I want to begin by referencing and explaining something from the text that I have chosen. This text is talking about praying for your preacher. Amen. Of course, Ephesians 6 deals with the it's a continuation of chapter 5, the family being filled with the Spirit, how it works out in the family, but then it gets to the individual and about spiritual warfare and wearing, putting on the whole armor of God and how all that armor is fitted and is fashioned that it might be a blessing through prayer. That's the key of it all. The thing that ties it all together is prayer. By the way, I believe the key to having a godly family is prayer. I believe the key to being Spirit-filled is prayer. I believe the key to having a Spirit-filled church is prayer. Amen. And so he said the preacher needs prayer. All that lines up with prayer. And so I could say a lot about prayer, but I'm not going to talk about that primarily, just a little bit about it. But he's talking about praying for your preacher. He's talking about praying for your missionaries. By the way, missionaries, there's a lot of things people do under the umbrella of missions that is not necessarily really mission. It may be helps, it may be ministry, and a lot of things there. I believe, and I've said it before, I believe the mission of missions is church planting. And the way that's done is through preaching. Amen. And I thank God for preaching missionaries. Amen. But the text that we're dealing with, and excuse me, that's talking about prayer for the preacher, is praying for ability and opportunity to open their mouth and to declare the Word of God. Amen. It's not dealing with the call to preach, although I believe there ought to be a specific call. Amen. I don't believe that a man ought to just be a volunteer in the army of God. Amen. I'm talking about in the ministry. He ought to be called into the ministry. Amen. He's not talking about the call, but it is talking about the courage. He talked about the boldness. And it's talking about the chance or the opportunity that he might preach. Now, I said I could preach numbers of messages on the prayer for the preacher, and many of them need to be preached, but that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on this set of sermons on the utterance or the speaking forth of the preaching that is to be prayed about. And we've been dealing with Malachi for some time now and thinking about his prophecy. And I mentioned to you, when I study those prophets, I don't just look at what they're saying about the future. I look at what they were saying for the day right then. And that is his preaching, I believe. Those men were not just future tellers. They were preaching to the nation in their day. Amen. And I look at their message as a preacher, and I believe that's the idea that we've got, and Paul's dealing with it in the book of Ephesians, that we're praying for the preacher. Amen. You see, ever since God spake the worlds into existence, ever since God began to communicate with Adam and Eve, history has been a succession of God revealing Himself to mankind. Amen. Revealing Himself to mankind. Or revelations from God of Himself. Amen. In other words, God has been trying to tell men about Himself that they might come to know Him. Amen. That's been going on down through history and observed in the Bible in three distinct ways. I'm going to deal with these 3 points tonight, and that'll be my message. 3 distinct ways. And I'm going to give you names that you may have never heard before. I hadn't either. But they fit together and they make a sermon. And I think I can make sense out of them to help you tonight. First of all, these 3 ways, I'm going to throw out the 3 and then deal with them individually. First of all, there's the theophanic revelation. Theophanic. T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-I-C. Theophanic. You've heard of a theophany? That's when God reveals Himself immediately. He does not use somebody else to speak for Him. He speaks for Himself, either in an audible voice or in a visible body. I'll say more about that. That's theophanic revelation. Then the second way that God reveals Himself is theopneustic revelation. That's T-H-E-O-P-N-E-U-S-T-I-C. Revelation. That's pneustic being spirit, the word, the spirit that goes forth. And that is not when God reveals Himself immediately, but when God reveals Himself mediately or through a medium, through a mediator. We don't use the word medium much because we're thinking about witchcraft most of the time. Isn't that right? When you hear the word medium. Isn't it amazing that the word media is so close to medium? Man. You know what media is? Media is communications. That's really what it is. They're communicating what they want you to know. Amen. Amen. Listen, it don't matter which news, which source you get your news from. They're only telling you what they want you to know. They're communicating it. Well, God uses mediator. He uses a person through some of His historic revelations of Himself. And that is when He allows somebody to speak for Him, such as a prophet speaking for Him. And then there's the third and final revelation of God, at least in the dispensation so far. The third and final revelation, I believe, is the theologic revelation, logic dealing with words, not just ideas and in the mind, but God reveals Himself through words. Now, when He reveals Himself by Himself, that is when He reveals Himself immediately. When He reveals Himself through somebody else, that's when He reveals Himself immediately. But when He reveals Himself through the Word, He has revealed Himself permanently.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad that's so. We'll look at that a little bit later as we go along. So these three revelations of God, the theophanic revelation, first of all, is when God chose to reveal Himself immediately. God chose to reveal Himself to the patriarchs, primarily, by visible appearances, or what we call theophanies. Throughout the book of Genesis, I looked up the word prophet. You know how many times the word prophet is found in the book of Genesis? One time. It's found a few more times in the book of Exodus, and then it really picks up when you get the book of Deuteronomy, and it's found numerous times. It's over 233 times in the Bible, King James Bible, that the word prophet, just that word, not with the S, just the word prophet, is in the Bible. But it's interesting to me that in dealing with the fathers, in dealing with the patriarchs, and that's primarily the book of Genesis, God was dealing with individuals, right? God spake to Adam. God spake to Noah. God spake to Abraham. God spake to Isaac. God spake to Jacob. God spake to Joseph. You go down the line in the book of Genesis, God spoke to individuals, and He spoke to them primarily personally. He revealed Himself not through somebody else, but through His own person. Amen. And that is called a theophany. Now, these revelations of God could be called dispensations. Now, I don't want to get in a hyper dispensation, start cutting your Bible up and tell you that there's some that you can't use. Listen, all the Bible's profitable, the Bible said. Amen. All the Bible's good and profitable and helpful to us if we'll only receive it. Amen. As it was given. But there are different dispensations. Now, what a dispensation is, a dispenser, I think about them little, what's them little things that the kids get that you peel the head back and it spits out something? Piece of candy? Pez, thank you. All right, Pez. Y'all all remember that? All right. That is a dispenser of candy, right? And there are different ones. Well, God uses different ways to dispense His truth. And that's called a dispensation, a dispensing, all right? And it's a different way that God reveals Himself. And so there's the dispensation of the patriarchs, or the theophanic revelation, amen, of God, how He reveals Himself just through Himself in the days before Moses delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Before there was a chosen nation, so to speak. That chosen nation was in the bowels of Abraham. That chosen nation began to take more form with Isaac. And then, of course, with Jacob and his 12 sons and what became known as the 12 tribes. But until they went down into Egypt and came out of Egyptian bondage and came back into the land of promise, that's when they finally became known as a nation God had preserved and redeemed the nation, thank God. But until that point, God was dealing with individuals, and He spoke to them primarily on personal appearances or personal embodiments of God. That's how He chose to reveal Himself. Amen. In those days, there were times when God would appear in bodily form to speak to men. Or He would thunder His voice from heaven and they'd hear a voice personally. Turn with me. We'll look at some of these in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8. You know these verses, I'm sure. But I want to show you some things here that I think will help us. And if you'll follow me along, I think you'll see where we're going and it'll be a blessing. Genesis chapter number 3, and you know the story. God made a garden, put Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned. Verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God I could stop right there. They heard the voice of the Lord God. But it don't stop there. What was that voice doing? It was walking. Have you ever heard a voice walking? Somebody told me the other day, out there in Kansas, a fellow that Brother Epley is talking about listening to the radio station years ago. He said it from pulpit. He said, have you ever heard of a Brother Robard? And I said, no, because I don't think of him by his last name. I thought Brother Jerome. He said, his amen was unique. He said, he's fallen off a cliff when he'd say, amen. Well, that's a voice falling. That's not a voice walking. Amen. But they heard a voice walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that what the verse says? Verse number 8, chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves, here it is, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, how do you get out of the presence of God? Only if He is embodied. Amen. So they heard a voice, but that voice was walking. Apparently God, and the Bible doesn't give us a lot of clarity about this, but although only the voice of God's mentioned here, yet almost all readers understand that it was the embodied form. God came and walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and then God called out and said, Adam, where art thou in that day? Now turn to Genesis chapter number 18, and you'll see another embodiment of Christ, of God. Revealing Himself, Genesis chapter number 18, and I'll show you a few verses, so if you can turn there, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll jump down and look at some more. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, this is Abram he's talking about, Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. I'm going to stop just a minute. You and I know that these three men, two of these men, are not men. They're angels. Right? They're going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to get Lot and his family out. And they're going to rain down fire and brimstone. One of those other men was not a man, but was more than a man. Look at verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, I thought before and even preached a thought about why that God did not go into Sodom. Those two angels did, but God did not go into there. He's too holy to even behold such wickedness as was going on down there. Amen. But I also saw in this text, and I never saw it before, that Abraham detained him. Abraham, in his prayer, kept God busy. If I could say it that way, I recognize God can be everywhere at all times. He can do anything He wants to do. But Abraham was detaining God in his prayer. And those two angels went on and did the work of God that God had them to do. But the point I'm making is, God appeared to Abraham in a bodily form and revealed Himself to Abraham and His will to Abraham in that bodily form. Here's another one, and this is sort of crossing over that barrier, but look in Exodus chapter number 3. I'll say this while you're turning there, that this one in Exodus is crossing the dispensational line. These dispensations, I believe, overlap, and they make the transition gradually from the one dispensation to the other. And so do some of these characteristics. Now, there's different ways that God reveals Himself, and these characteristics are seen. All right, here's in chapter 3 of Exodus, verses number 2 through 4. Again, very familiar verses. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now, the him here is Moses. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush. So God was in that bush, right? God appeared to Moses again in some type of bodily form in that bush. It's really called the angel of the Lord, if you notice there. Amen. Not in a bodily form of a man, but in the burning bush. And he's called the angel of the Lord. Later stated plainly that it is the Lord, that God spake to him. Matter of fact, that same thing happens, I believe, in the story of Gideon. And Brother Vincent's going to be teaching on that sometime soon. And if I'm not mistaken, it talks about it being the angel. And then it said, that angel said, the Lord said. And that angel is not just another being. That is an embodiment, a presentation of God, a revelation of God to man. Amen. Now, if we were to give this first dispensation of God's revelation of Himself to mankind, if we were to give that dispensation name, we'd call it the patriarchal dispensation, because it involved a time and a people before the nation that God was going to address was actually a nation. Amen. And it was demonstrated by God specifically dealing with their fathers. This patriarchal dispensation, as I said, was theophanic. God spoke through and by Himself. All right. Either in bodily form or immediate visions. One note to make about this patriarchal dispensation. And by the way, you might say, why is this important? If you'll hang with me, we'll pull it up together. I think you'll see why it is important. If it wasn't important, why did God tell us all this? Why did He lay it out? He wrote it for our admonition, amen, that we could know. All right. But one note of interest about this patriarchal dispensation in which God revealed Himself immediately to men without any mediator is the absence of miracles. The absence of miracles. God didn't perform a miracle for Adam. God didn't perform a miracle for Noah. In some ways you could say He did. In fact, God made everything. That's a miracle, you could say. The fact that God slew a lamb instead of Adam, amen, that's a miracle. But in the sense, God didn't do some marvelous thing that would be a miracle. The miracles are in the times of the prophets. Primarily, but when God spoke to Abraham, He didn't go through a bunch of miracles. When God spoke to Noah, He didn't go through a bunch of miracles and those sorts of things. It was just God revealing Himself, amen, without the use of miracles. They were either non-existent or else they were only performed by God Himself without the aid of man. For example, I'll use Noah for example. Noah was warned by God speaking directly to Noah. The Bible does. I read the story again in preparing this message in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. God, the Bible does not tell us if God personally, bodily showed up to Noah. Although the Bible says Noah walked with God. Right. Now what the Bible said? Like Enoch walked with God. I don't know if it's just exactly like Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. I don't know. But Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, personally, I think a voice thundered from heaven. And Noah heard the voice that said, prepare an ark for the saving of your house. Because God warned him that his spirit would not always strive with man. And that God was going to be through fooling with them after a while. And He's going to destroy the earth and all the men that were on it that were not in the ark. Amen. God warned Noah by speaking directly to him about an impending flood that would destroy the whole world. Noah, warned of the flood, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. But Noah did not call down the rain. Amen. Noah did not pray down the rain. Noah did not call down the rain. Noah did nothing to instigate the rain. The rain came only by and through the power of God. Amen. Amen. Now, in this case, God spoke directly to men without using a medium or a prophet or a mediator, as we'd say today. And it was more infrequent in that day than it was later when He spoke through these men. All right. Now, since it is true that the word prophet does appear one time, only one time in the book of Genesis, I thought it'd be right to look at it. So if you'll turn back with me to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. Only one time is the word prophet used in the book of Genesis, and it's talking about Abraham. God calls Abraham a prophet. Genesis 20 verse 7. Now there, and he's talking to Abimelech, by the way, a wicked king. And I guess you probably know the story. Abraham had gone down there with Sarah, and Abraham was afraid they'd kill him because Sarah was a beautiful woman. And so Abraham came up with this idea that was a half-truth that said, you tell him you're my sister. And Abimelech took her. He's going to put her in his harem because she was a beautiful woman and he thought she's just a sister to Abraham. And God shut up the wombs of all those people. And then God dealt with Abimelech in a dream, spoke to him in a dream. Look again in verse number 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. You see that? Now Abraham didn't work miracles. I don't know where Abraham ever prophesied anything to anybody. Do you? It's not recorded that Abraham ever did the job of a prophet the way we think of it. But this word prophet, I believe, is in its infancy. It's in its primitive use. And that is this. Abraham communicated with God. Abraham heard from God. Abraham talked to God. And that's the way he uses it here. Look again, verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Amen. Abraham could hear from God, and God would hear from Abraham. Amen. Abraham had prayed just a chapter or two before and had spared Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had pleaded with God. Abraham had talked to God, and Abraham was now called a friend of God. Amen. And that's why I believe God called him a prophet. Again, it simply shows that Abraham talked to God by prayer, and God talked to Abraham in prophetic utterance, in a theophanic revelation. God revealed himself to Abraham. Now, the second thing I said, not only theophanic revelation, but theonoustic revelation, which God reveals himself immediately or through someone else. This is when God chose to reveal himself through inspired men, such as Moses. I said in the book of Exodus, the word prophet's used again, and it picks up even in the book of Deuteronomy a lot more. God speaks to Moses, but in a different way that he had to Abraham or to Noah or to Adam. God not only speaks to Moses, but God speaks through Moses. Because now he's not just dealing with individuals. There when he appeared in the wilderness, in that burning bush, he was not talking to the nation of Israel. He was only talking to Moses. Again, individual father talk. Patriarchal talk. But later he's going to speak through Moses to talk to the nation of Egypt, and primarily the nation of Israel. He's going to use Moses as a prophet, amen, to talk to the nation that God was going to deal with. I believe we see in Moses him beginning to deal with more than just individuals, amen, but he deals with nations. And to do this, God chose to withdraw himself from that direct communication with mankind and to reveal himself and to reveal his word to individuals that would speak for him or on his behalf. Amen. So this second dispensation starts, you got the fathers in Genesis. And then from Exodus, primarily through Malachi. I would also include John the Baptist. That's the prophets. The law and the prophets were till John. That's what Jesus said. And so you've got this first dispensation, Genesis, when he dealt with only individuals primarily. Then Exodus to the end of the Old Testament era, God dealt with a nation primarily. He did deal with nations. He sent messages, I said, to Egypt. He sent messages to Babylon. He sent messages to Moab. He sent messages to different nations across the globe. But he dealt primarily with the nation of Israel. And in dealing with nations, he used an individual that would speak for him to those nations. God began to reveal himself through human, living human instrumentality. Amen. In this form of God's revelation, we see God granting many of these men the ability to perform miracles. Now, why was that? To prove that their message had divine origin. I believe that's right. For example, God used Moses to divide the Red Sea. Not counting the things he used for him in Egypt, but to use him to divide the Red Sea. That said not only to Israel that Moses was God's man, but that said to the heathen nations. You remember when they went in and spied out the land and went into Rahab's house, and Rahab said, "We heard how that your God dried up the Red Sea and brought you through." By the way, that was 40 years prior to that. They're still quaking in their boots. She says, "To this day, we've been afraid of your God." For 40 years, the people in Jericho had feared God. Why? Because they knew Moses was God's man. How did they know it? Because God used him to perform miracles and to speak for God. Amen. God used Joshua to command the sun to stand still for the battle of Amalek. Amen. These men that God spoke through in this dispensation were primarily active prophets and not writing prophets. Moses did write the first five books of the Bible. David wrote the Psalms. Solomon wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. And I could go on other prophets, and I'll say more about them in a minute. But yet, in this group, we find men such as Elijah. I was talking with Brother Steve today, I think, and I read this in a book that he loaned me a PDF of, that I believe that Elijah is the symbolic prophet of all the prophets. They all line up with Elijah. Elijah's the prophet that stepped out of nowhere in the darkest, blackest night and spoke to the authority in that day and said, "God said, and this is the way it's going to be." Amen. Elijah, all those after him line up with Elijah, and they come in that lineage, if I could say it that way, of Elijah. Elijah is the prophet. Matter of fact, when Jesus came and went to preach him, they said, "Art thou Elias?" They asked the same thing of John the Baptist. They asked that of the Lord, because that's the prophet mentality that they had in their mind. But Elijah never wrote a word, as far as we know. Never wrote a book. God did not inspire him. Elisha, numerous others that we could talk about that spoke for God, did many miracles and yet never wrote a book or a letter of the Word of God. This was the theonoustic revelation, in which God spake through men's mouths rather than their pen. Amen. There was a surge of writing prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Malachi. Surge of men later years, by the way, that's headed towards the changing again of the dispensations. Amen. That men started writing, but God spoke through those men. Amen. Towards the end of that dispensation, nearing the inclusion of the last prophetic dispensation, they wrote. But even these men were used of God at the time primarily for their prophetic declarations and their prophetic actions, more than their prophetic writings. Amen. Now here's a note. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 15. I'll show you this and I'll tell you my note while you're turning. The New Testament reveals that the writings of these prophets, I'm talking about men like Isaiah all the way to Malachi, was more for us than it was for the day it was written. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So he said what those men wrote was written primarily for us. Amen. Isaiah was a prophet and wrote much prophecy, but his writings was for us. His preaching was for those of his day. Amen. His actions were for those of his day. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Again, we'll see the same truth repeated. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. Hope this is not boring to you. It's exciting to me, to be honest with you, how God reveals himself in stages. Verse 11, chapter 10. "Now all these things happened unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Those men prophesied about the end. He said, we're living in the last days, and the writings were for us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And you can hold your finger in 1 Peter, because we're going to hang around here for a little while. I'm not going to be a lot longer, but my next point is going to deal with a lot of Peter's statements. First Peter chapter 1, verse 12. He's talking about the prophets and old, how they inquired, going back to verse 10. But get to verse 12. He said, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. These prophets spake for their people and they wrote for us. Amen. So the primary use that God had for the prophets in the Old Testament, he had the patriarchal where God spoke theophanic, only by himself. Then theonoustic, he spoke through these men to the nation. And the writings were preserved for us. Amen. The last revelation is what's called the theologic revelation. And this is what I believe. The revelations of God in their progression gets better. Now we have a perfect revelation because we have a permanent revelation. Amen. Amen. Visions fade away. Men pass away. But the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Amen. And so the theologic revelation is in which God reveals Himself permanently. If the book of Genesis is called the patriarchal dispensation, if the Exodus through Malachi and then touching into John the Baptist is the prophets, or we would say the Mosaic dispensation. Then the New Testament, we could call it New Testament dispensation. I like to call it the Christian dispensation, because God's not just dealing with fathers. God's not just dealing with a nation. God's dealing with the whole wide world. Amen. And He wants the world to know Him. Amen. In the Christian dispensation, He wants the individuals, the whole world over, to know Him. God has chosen to reveal Himself in writings. Amen. You ever played that game called the gossip game? Some of you didn't know it was a game. You just thought it's what you do all the time. Gossip. No, I'm kidding. But you played the gossip game where you start a line over here and somebody whispers something in somebody's ear and it goes around and it comes back to the end and it is nowhere near what it started out to be. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Larry Wells he's talking about gossip. And he's using the phone. And he told a story about this woman. And said this lady was telling this woman some gossip. And boy, she was eating it up. And she kept saying, tell me more, tell me more. And so the woman would tell her more. And she kept saying, tell me more, tell me more. So she'd tell her more. And finally, that woman said, tell me more. And the woman said, I done told you more than I know. That's when it gets to be trouble, amen. When you start telling things you suppose, amen, more than you know, amen. Well, but when words passed around from one to another, it can get abridged, it can get altered. That's a good way to say it. God didn't just pass down His knowledge from generation to generation by word of mouth. But He chose to put it in writing that we might have a permanent, a specific, amen, a very specific and perfect revelation of God. I believe that's right. Amen. Some men had those visions. They had those feelings. But feelings can change. Some men heard the voice of God. But men can change. But thank God, God's Word never changes. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. I said I'd be reading some of Peter's writings. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 19. I'd love to kick in at verse 16, but to save you a little bit of time, I'll kick in at verse number 19. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The apostle Peter had been an eyewitness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle Peter had been an eyewitness of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle Peter had heard firsthand the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter had seen and heard the preaching and teaching not only of Jesus, but of Moses and of Elijah on the mountain of Transfiguration. He saw it and he heard it, but he said, I've got something better than what I saw. I've got something more permanent than what I heard. I've got the Word of God pinned down by holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible was not written by King James. The Bible was not written by some man. The Bible, although God used human instruments to write it, it's just like if I take this pen out and write a word, you can say that word was written by this pen. But it's my word. Because the pen can only write what I tell it to write. Amen. And God used those men as pen. They were moved as God the Holy Ghost moved them to pin down what God had for them to say. I believe that's right. Amen. Amen. Well, Peter said that I've got a more sure foundation to build on. Amen. That is to build on the very Word of God. He declared that our faith must not lie in that which we have seen, heard, or felt. Our faith must rely on the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Peter plainly announces the great characteristic of the New Testament dispensation is the revelation of God through His inspired Word. Theologic revelation. Amen. Hence, the will of God is made known through the Christian dispensation, not by direct appearances or theophanies, not by inspired men such as modern day prophets. By the way, if people want to go back to dreams and visions and go back to so-called prophet, modern-day prophets, they're going backwards in revelation rather than forward. Amen. Amen. Why would you want to go back to a lesser stable form when you've got the perfect stable form of the revelation of God? Amen. Amen. So we ought to stay with the Bible. Amen. In this form, it is in this form that prophecy meets us today. Amen. Not the prophetic gift, not the prophetic office, but the prophetic utterance. We know the Word of God and we hear the Word of God preached. That's how we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Paul was saying, pray for me that I might utter the Word of God as I should. Now, having said all that, I'm closing up with this thought. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter number 4. This is my closing declaration. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. What's an oracle? An oracle is a revelation. It's the way God revealed Himself. Sometimes prophets were called oracles in the Old Testament. How does God reveal Himself? Well, Peter said, if you're going to speak, your speaking needs to line up with the Word of God. Amen. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And Peter said, amen, and I say amen to it. Amen. So Peter said, when a man preaches, when a man speaks, when a man witnesses, when a man speaks forth, utters his utterance for God, it must line up with the Word of God. Amen. I get angered. I talked to Brother Steve about it this morning and Miss Ruth about it today. My wife pulled up something on Facebook yesterday of a so-called message that was preached this past Sunday night, and men are bragging about that message where a young man curses and curses and curses and uses vulgar, vile, gutter terms in what's supposed to be the house of God, and the young people in that crowd are standing up and cheering him on and egging him on till you can hardly hear what he's got to say, and good people that I know that I think are good people are pushing the like button on Facebook. I say, how can you like when a man's cussing in the pulpit? Amen. How can you like when he's supposed to be uttering for God and he's bragging on his hero, which ain't Jesus, by the way. It's a man a long, far cry from Jesus. Amen. It's a heretic. Amen. It's a false prophet that wants to heap praise on himself. Amen. God help. I didn't mean to get any of my notes, but it's in my heart. Amen. It angers me when men get up and call it preaching. They're not preaching. They're promoting some man. They're promoting some program of some kind. And people today swallow it up and say, man, ain't that preaching? No, that ain't preaching. Peter said it ain't preaching unless it lines up with this book. Now, he don't have to walk the pews. He don't have to leave the pulpit. He don't have to raise his voice. If he's preaching this book, it's good preaching. Amen. I like it when he jumps pews and runs aisles and all. I like all that. I don't hurt it. But if he does all that and don't preach the Bible, he still ain't preaching. I don't care how much he hacks. I don't care how good he alliterates. If it don't line up with the Bible, it ain't preaching. Amen. I believe Peter meant to admonish those who would dare speak for God to make sure that their message lined up with the Word of God. We have no excuse for our message not lining up with the Word of God. We all have it written down plainly. And by the grace of God, and because of the blood of men and some women, but the blood primarily of men, we have it in our own language, and we have it where we can understand it, and God has blessed us with a literacy, an ability to be able to read. We have no excuse for not knowing the will of God. It's written down in black and white. Amen. We ought to speak it. We ought to speak for God. Amen. Speak for God. In other words, let Him speak only as the oracles of God speak. Preaching ought to line up with the Bible. My dad mentioned that a lady came and visited with them, told one of their ladies later, she said, you know what, I was amazed at your church service. She said, this is what amazed me. She said the preacher got up and just preached right out of the Bible. I told him, I've heard some messages that's way out of the Bible. But she couldn't believe that he just got up, opened his Bible, and preached right out of the Bible. That's preaching, by the way. Amen. I was asked on the last night of the meeting in Kansas if I would come back in October to another place down in Wichita and preach there. And I told the two pastors that hosted that last camp meeting I was in, I told them that I'd been asked to come down there. They said, that'll be a blessing. And here's what he said. Both of those men said, that place can use your preaching because they need some Bible preaching. He said, the evangelists they have, here's what he said. He said, the evangelists they promote, said, would never let the Bible get in the way of a good sermon. God help us. Amen. Now, they said the men were good preachers. I don't know how you can be a good preacher if you don't stick with the Bible. I'm just being honest. Amen. I don't believe you're a good wife if you don't keep the covenant. I don't believe you're a good husband if you don't keep the covenant. You got to stick with what the document says. Amen. Well, how can you be a good preacher if you don't keep the Word of God? Amen. Amen. Well, he says we ought to speak forth the Word of God. And in this speaking, it better line up with this book. See, a lot of dreams people have. A couple of weeks ago, they were on J. Harold Smith's program. His son was announcing and talking about a book that came out. I think they made a movie. A young man. I remember hearing Glenn Beck talk about on his radio program about a young man that had, quote unquote, died and went to heaven and had all this dreams and visions, saw all this stuff, came back and told his mom and dad stuff that they said there's no way he could have known it. And so they are convinced he went to heaven. Just a little bit later, he finally confessed it's all a hoax. It's all a hoax. Listen, we don't have to rely on dreams and visions. We don't have to rely on men and what they say. We have a Bible, thank God. Amen. Now, I thank God for preachers, for God-called preachers. Amen. But we ought to search it out in the Scriptures to see whether or not the things they're saying are actually so. Amen. Preaching ought to line up with the Bible. We ought to be pointing people to what thus saith the Lord. Our faith must be built on the Word of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I thank God for His revelation to mankind of Himself. And it comes right out of the Bible. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for those that came. Lord, I pray for those that are not here. Those that some would like to have been here. Maybe situations or maybe sickness has hindered them from being here. Lord, I pray for them. You'd help them and work, that they'll be able to be here next time. But Father, I pray for those of us that are here. Give us ears to hear. Don't let our ears get dull of hearing. Don't let us deceive ourselves being hearers only. Lord, help us be doers of the Word of God. Lord, help us that we might love the Word, that we might soak in the Word, we might hunger for the Word. And then, Lord, that we wouldn't just be like a sponge that just takes in, but Lord, let us give out the Word of God, that others might know the same Savior, the same truth that we know. Lord, I pray, work in this invitation according to Thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord, we'll give you that opportunity.